And we're joined on the scoop today by Colton Molesky, pulling double duty today because we've got a lot to talk about. We'll start by talking college football, recapping everything that happened from this past weekend. And then we will talk some Timberwolves because the Jimmy Butler trade going down over the weekend. So we've got plenty to talk about. Colton, as always, glad to have you back on the show. It was a busy weekend, both on the national stage and here in Minnesota as well.
Had some fantastic games. Bedlam, always a highlight, but just around college football, some great games. I would just like to, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I would like to say that after I announced my lock of the week, Notre Dame by 18, not only did they lose their starting quarterback after I announced my lock of the week, but they still covered, so I still get the W for
lucky.
You and your fans.
Lucky. I went 1-2. Thanks for nothing, Michigan. They were 39-point favorites, and they ended up winning by 35. So,
what a garbage team.
Frustrated by that. And then I don't know who the other one was. Oh, did I have? I think I had Auburn again. I don't know why. But I don't know. I can't even remember who I had because I just at this point don't look because it's just a dumpster fire. So,
well, and since you started with Michigan, do you want to start there? I mean, they're a top four team now.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's start by talking about just where we're at now. I know they're starting to release the playoff rankings with the teams that are hopefully going to be going to the college football playoff. And obviously you've got Alabama and Clemson. But at this point, Colton, who would the other two teams be if you were able to pick? It would have to be Michigan and Notre Dame, right?
I would think so, just because Notre Dame, you're a flawless team. And you can say whatever you want about some of the primetime games they've had on their schedule. I know Stanford, one of those teams that they beat when they were ranked, and then has turned out to be a pretty flawed team down the stretch of games here. But you still should get credit for going flawless through the course of your season. And also, they've beaten some real teams. You talk about Michigan, that's the fourth team in the country according to the AP Top 25 right now. And they opened up with a win against them at home by 7 points. They are a real team that can win in the trenches, and Dexter Williams is kind of the guy. I know that Ian Book has been the star and the quarterback that's come off the bench and really looked good. Like I was saying, he was injured this week, but when he's played, he's looked fantastic, surprisingly so after his struggles last year. But kind of the underrated part, I think, of this Notre Dame team, the thing that's really winning them football games is their running game. And Dexter Williams, he had 200 yards against FSU last week. I think that's the first time since, I saw something on Twitter, and it was like the first time since like 1973, I think, or something like that, that the Seminoles have allowed a 200-yard rusher against them. And so Dexter Williams is just hitting full stride this season, looking really good at coming off of the suspension to start out the year. He's been fantastic. And I think that's the underrated part, is that this team is not only finding a really good quarterback off its bench, but it's also incredibly balanced going down the stretch. And that's kind of the hallmark for all the teams not named Alabama and Clemson. If you look at Michigan, if you look at Notre Dame, these teams are really finding their identity along the way as opposed to trying to tack last year's identity onto this year's team.
Colton, there were no shortage of crazy results from this past weekend. And I think I think one of the other picks that I had was LSU, and they did not cover. So thanks a lot for that, LSU. But looking at the results that we saw, Syracuse handled Louisville and then also handed Bobby Petrino a notice that he had been fired. So that was one of the big results. NC State got upset. Fresno State got upset. Alabama won again. Clemson won again. And then big wins by Notre Dame and Michigan. A crazy shootout between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. What were some of your favorite games from this past weekend?
One of my favorite games, because of this stat I'm about to give you, but the 14-10 win Northwestern had over Iowa. Listen to this. Because they're 6-1 in the Big Ten, they're one of the first teams in I think it was 20 years, something like that. But they're one of the few teams that is going to go to their conference title game without a non-conference win. They're 0-3 out of conference, and they're going to go because Wisconsin and Iowa have bumbled and fumbled away their season and not taken advantage of opportunities to jump out in front of their division to play Michigan in the conference title game. And so it's going to be Northwestern Michigan. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah, that...
And thanks to the Athletic for that stat, by the way. I don't know if I gave it credit, but the Athletic is where I read that. And that is crazy. No non-conference wins. One of the few teams that's going to go to the Big Ten.
Well,
no non-conference wins.
This Northwestern team, I mean, Pat Fitzgerald has to be given a lot of credit because they're not particularly good in the month of September. But every other month of the season, they really put it together. And, I mean, they've got several very impressive wins this season. So tip of the cap to Pat Fitzgerald for getting Northwestern to the Big Ten title game against Michigan.
Well, one of those teams, too, Wisconsin lost against Penn State. And Wisconsin, one of those teams, you kind of thought they were going to be somewhat of a playoff contender. You always knew that either Michigan or Ohio State was going to represent one side of the Big Ten. And if they could beat them somehow in a... Because it seemed like this was kind of Wisconsin's year to either they go to the Big 12 title game or they are just bumbling away the season. But it was kind of their race to lose. And you thought last year, a Heisman candidate, Jonathan Taylor, they would be kind of secure in a team that usually typically dominates the trenches. This year, not so much. Even when Jonathan Taylor has been successful against Penn State, 185 yards and a touchdown, they still do not impose their will like they used to on the opposition. They've let up a lot of rushing yards. Penn State, again, a perfect example. Sanders had 159 rushing yards on 23 carries against Wisconsin. Just stuff that you're not used to seeing from them. They're only they were giving up 5 sacks in this game. Hornibrook was chased, or Koa, excuse me, was chased down a ton. And you just don't usually see this team lose at the line of scrimmage a lot. But they've been losing at the line of scrimmage all season long. And so really opening up things in the Big Ten. I think, again, all these factors are making Michigan a really good look for the playoff here as we get down the stretch.
Colton, looking at the top 25, we just talked about Northwestern quite a bit. They vault into the top 25. They're currently the 24th ranked team in the nation. Looking at some of the other big movers and shakers, Florida, Penn State, Iowa State, and Cincinnati all making some big jumps. It looks like the magic is starting to wear off for Kentucky as they drop again. They're now at 20 after falling to 7-3. Boston College drops 5 spots. Mississippi State drops 5 spots as well. Any other surprises from this week's top 25 ranking?
I was really surprised Kentucky lost to Tennessee. And I was shocked that they dropped that game against the Tennessee squad. That's just not very good. I would like to direct everyone's attention to the Big 12 teams, too. You have guys like Texas at number 13, Iowa State at number 18. You have at 6 and 7, Oklahoma and West Virginia, respectively. I mean, all these teams have at least one loss, and they all have garnered wins over pretty dominant. Like, you have Texas losing to West Virginia, but you have West Virginia losing to Iowa State. Oklahoma has a loss. I mean, if some teams continue to slip up, obviously this is kind of the race for West Virginia, Oklahoma to lose. But if they slip up here in the next couple of weeks, you could have a situation for one of these teams like a Texas or an Iowa State. If they can run the table here to finish out the season and you have a slip up from Oklahoma or West Virginia to make their title game, it's a really interesting race in the Big 12. I'm not sure if they put a team in the playoff, but it's a really interesting race for those New Year's Six bowl games as far as the Big 12 is concerned, who's going to be playing in those bowl games, who's going to be representing their conference. I think that race is still pretty wide open. Also, Washington State at number 8. You know I've got to beat the Pac-12 drum a little bit. I cover the Pac-12 a lot. So I've got to draw a little attention to them. Washington State and Gardner Minshew, their quarterback, have been playing lights out. They're 9-1. They're 8 in the country, 8th in the country right now. They've bumped up 2 spots this week. If they can run the table, get a win to finish out the year in the Apple Bowl against a good Washington team that is also currently ranked at 17, and then win their conference, I know that Notre Dame would have to lose a couple of games, but they should be like a top 5, top 6 squad. I think if they are able to run the table and win their conference. I mean, I know Georgia would probably have to lose in their conference game. Oklahoma would probably have to lose in their conference game. But if all those factors happen, I think this is a team that's just outside the playoff race. Really, really good squad. And it's a bummer that they dropped that one game early, because this would have been a fantastic year for them to try and sneak into the playoffs. If they don't lose to USC in week 4, I think that we're talking about this team as a potential playoff team, because they would need to be flawless for the Pac-12 to find a team in the playoff. But this was the Pac-12's best shot in years, because they have looked so good and their quarterback has been dominant.
Colton, we move on to Tua Tagovailoa watch. Although it looks like he threw another interception against Mississippi State, so he's got 2 now on the season. He's trending in the wrong direction. Is Kyler Murray starting to close the gap a little bit, or is it still Tagovailoa by a mile?
It's still Tua by so much. It's the problem is it, when you're trying to race Tua, is it's not, even if he throws 3 interceptions every single game that's left on their slate in the regular season, even if he throws like 3 picks every single game, the problem is he's still so efficient. It's crazy that we've gone over the numbers that he's been putting up already, but it's crazy the fact that he's able to pick apart defenses with such high efficiency. And it really helps that he only has 2 picks against 28 touchdowns, but he's completing 67% of his passes. He only has 215 attempts right now. 215 attempts. He is 23rd in the nation in yards thrown this year. And the guys in front of him, LaRosa at ODU, Colorado's Montez, are 22 and 21. They have 344 attempts. Nevada's quarterback behind him has 332 attempts. Brady White from Memphis has 272 attempts. All these guys are throwing the ball a ton, and they're not completing with his accuracy, and they're not throwing as many yards for the most part as he is, and they all have less touchdowns. It's insane what he's doing. The accuracy he is and precision he has is unmatched in college football right now.
Colton, let's look at some of the best games for this coming week. And, I mean, obviously we're getting down to the wire the last few weeks of the regular season. And I pray for the Citadel, because they are taking on Alabama. And Alabama, there's no line on that game. That's probably a good thing.
Dear God.
Yeah. Looking at some of the other games, though, we've got Michigan State taking on Nebraska, Penn State taking on Rutgers in Big Ten play, Syracuse and Notre Dame, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Indiana, Michigan. Those are just some that are popping out as I scan through all the upcoming games. Which ones will you be keeping a close eye on this weekend?
Well, this is a tough week, right? Because this is the week before Hate Week, the best weekend of the year. Better than Christmas, better than your birthday, better than Thanksgiving. Hate Week is the week that trumps all other weeks. Coincidentally, I think it is falling on Thanksgiving weekend this week, which is even better. But Hate Week is the best time of year. And so every team is kind of throwing, there's a lot of teams that are throwing cream puffs out on their schedule before that week to kind of get prepped, or teams that they are not very good. I think the best game this weekend is probably Iowa State, Texas, 22 versus 19. Texas, the 3-point favorite at home. Iowa State has been looking really good. Purdy has been playing really well at quarterback. Hakeem Butler has been a monster. He is averaging 24 yards per catch, leading the country in that category. He's been a monster. If you haven't seen it, go look up his stiff arm against Kansas. It'll send shivers down your spine. He's been awesome, and I think that they will give Texas a real run for their money. Their offense has just really been clicking the last 3 or 4 weeks. Another game, you mentioned the Alabama Citadel game. Another game that would be just keep your eye on just because of the spread is crazy. LSU is favored by 43.5 points against Rice.
What? Oh,
isn't that just fun?
Well, 1-10. Now you've got me intrigued. I need some solid bets to get my picks record back to respectable. Maybe that's the way that I get back in, is by picking Rice to cover, and then
Is this how you want to lose your mind? Going crazy watching LSU and Rice. Is this how you want to slowly creep into insanity?
I mean, probably. It's already started.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, some more crazy spreads. Oklahoma versus Kansas, 36.5 point spread. And then what was the other? Oh, Georgia against UMass, 44 point spread. Were some of the crazy ones that leapt out to me. Also, another interesting thing. Clemson has a close game last week against Boston College, a good Boston College team. And now they are only a 28-point favorite against Duke. Are we underrating Clemson?
Another one. Oregon State and Washington. Washington 32-point favorites. Maybe this is just big spread week.
It's the week before hate week, man. Everybody's trying to rest their starters at halftime.
Oh boy, I'm gonna take as many big spreads as possible, and then I'm gonna lose all of them.
I talked about in my column that I write every week, the College Five, getting you prepped for the five games you should watch. I think it was week two when there was like one good game because everybody after the premier opener had a cream puff on their schedule, an FCS college. I was like, this is the week that you got to take your kids to the zoo. You got to go on a date with your wife, girlfriend, whatever, because you're not going to see them for the majority of the rest of the year because of college football on Saturdays. This is another one of those weekends. You get one weekend right at the beginning and one weekend right at the end before we launch into bull season. You're not going to want to miss any seconds of hate week. Go out, go see your friends. You've been locked in a cage for the last few months. That is Saturday football's on the couch. Go see your friends. Go to a movie. Go take your girlfriend out, your wife. Go take your loved one out. Go see family. Take your kids to the park. Do something with them because you're not going to see them until after New Year's again.
Colton, let's wrap up by getting your lock of the week here for this week. Make it true. Make it correct. Hit me with that lock.
I really, really like Nebraska +2 against Michigan State. I've won some money betting against Michigan State this year already. I just don't think this is a very good team. I know that they have a pretty solid defense versus the run. I know that their secondary isn't terrible. They've had some pretty impressive games. They had the game against Penn State where I think they had, I think it was like 6 or 7 pass blocks or something like that. But they've had some moments as a secondary. I just don't trust their running game at all. I don't trust their offense. Their defense has had some really strange outings, like the 13 points let up against Arizona State on the road early in the season in the fourth quarter. And Nebraska has been clicking after a really tough start. Nebraska has looked really, really good. They put up 31 points against Ohio State. They put up 51 against Illinois. They put up 45 against BCU. They put up 53 against Minnesota. That's their last four games, really getting on track offensively. And now they're at home against Michigan State. I like the 2 points. I'm taking the 2-point home dog. I think that Frost has finally found the best ways to put these guys in positions to succeed, and it shows on the field, and I think they're going to get a win against an overrated Michigan State team.
Wow, you fully sold me there. I think I would lean that way. Of course, we know what happens when you and I both pick the same games. They lose because of the jinx. So I'm gonna stay away from that one, but I do like the call for sure.
And you know what? I'm so confident in this one, Seth. I'll let you bet it with me this week. How's that?
Oh,
sound?
Boy.
That's how confident I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's make that happen.
Let's make some money this week.
Yes, absolutely. Colton, let's have you hang on for one more for a little Jimmy Butler talk, and we'll do that after the break here on The Scoop.
Sounds like a plan, Seth. Thank you so much. Hey, remember, everybody, for college content, check out SB Nation's college pages. There's no better way to get prepped for Saturday.
Continuing today's edition of The Scoop, talking to Colton Molesky. We're switching gears now, talking Timberwolves basketball because, well, the cat's out of the bag. Jimmy Butler is now a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. He had his opening debut press conference today and had some interesting things to say. But before we get to that, Colton, what was your reaction to the Butler trade from Saturday?
Massive amounts of relief. Massive amounts of relief. I can't say this enough. I actually really like Jimmy Butler a lot. I think he's a phenomenal player. The moves that have gotten him so much scorn, I've kind of understood and seen his side of it. Haven't hated them with the vitriol that maybe other media members have, that maybe normal people are supposed to. And I really loved covering Jimmy Butler last year. And so I'm sad to see that go, but you have to sacrifice this for the good of the locker room, right? You have to sacrifice this for the good of the team. The team is not functioning well with him on it. Towns and Wiggins just aren't playing the way they're supposed to with him on the team. And so I think you add all that together and you just say there's no way this could work. And finally, Tibbs and admitted to that by trading him and saying there's no way we can get this to work out. And this is the best case scenario.
What about the return? Robert Covington, Dario Saric, also Jared Bayless, and a 2022 second round pick. Justin Patton also sent to the 76ers in the trade. Do you like the return that the Wolves got in exchange for Butler?
We talked about this on the Lockdown Wolves yesterday. I do like the return just because I think that in the new look offense of the Timberwolves, you can actually get really good return out of both Covington and Saric. Last year this would not have been a good trade, right? Because you have a Timberwolves team that was only shooting 21 threes per game. Now this year they're shooting 30 threes per game. The offense looks totally different. They're spacing the floor better. They're getting more fast break points, more offense in transition. Their offense is going to actually be able to utilize the players they're getting. And so I like this trade because I think Covington and Saric actually add a really fun layer of creativity and a really fun dynamic to this offense.
Colton, now looking at the dynamic of this team, obviously now, and it should have been this way before, this team will be centered around Karl-Anthony Towns. What does the team need to do in order to ensure that he becomes that focal point on the offensive end?
Well, I think you saw this last night. I think you saw this last night against the Brooklyn Nets, right? You saw that he needs to be the guy that's dominating games, right? That's dominating the glass, that's coming in strong on the boards. 21 rebounds and 25 points. He shot like 81% from the field last night because he was just finding stuff on the glass, and he did take some threes. He was being opportunistic with his outside shooting, but he was really just getting back to the basket, dominating on the boards, and playing over the top of people. And that's what happens when he is really controlling the game. And even when they were down 31-30 at the beginning in that first quarter, it still felt like the Timberwolves were really in control of that game, and that there was a confidence that they were going to find the win along the way, because they were doing what they wanted, and they were getting to the spots that they need to get to find success on their offense. And so if they can continue to play like that, and now you add in Covington and Sarge, guys who are going to really stretch the floor for Towns, that's when this could get really fun.
Colton, looking back at Jimmy Butler's tenure here, and I know you had a chance to kind of ask me essentially the same question on Lockdown Wolves yesterday, but I wanted to flip it back on you. The Butler tenure, which obviously the one playoff appearance and then everything that happened this year, was the trade at that point still worth it in your mind, considering what we now know about how long Butler ended up being here?
I think so. You have to break through to the playoffs at some point with these guys. You can't just wallow in mediocrity with young talent like Towns and Wiggins. And I'm not sure that this roster finds the playoffs for a couple more years without Butler joining the team. And the other thing is that I think that whatever you want to say about Butler, whenever you can get your young stars actual playoff reps, I think is ultimately a good thing, even if it's in the form of the series that we had against the Rockets where it was so poor. I still think that's important. I still think it's valuable. I still think there's valuable in showing young guys. Obviously, you want to win games, and they've won games before. They've been successful in college. They've won games at the pro level, even if it was not too many. I still think it's valuable to show them, hey, here's how you go throughout a season and actually get to the playoffs, actually cultivate a playoff team throughout a season. And so I think all that is valuable. And I think just going away from Jim Butler, I was thinking about this after we did the show yesterday. More going away from Jimmy Butler, I think the two things I'm going to remember are, one, the playoff run, but two, I'm going to remember that absolute killer instinct that Butler had in the fourth quarter. I think the perfect game for this was, remember December 28th, the Denver Nuggets are in town after Christmas, and the Timberwolves blew the lead on the road to the Bucks. They're up by 21, blew that lead and lost. They're up by 20, I believe it was, a 19 to the Denver Nuggets. And then in the fourth quarter, the Nuggets come back and they force overtime. And Jimmy Butler has 11 of like the 13 points in overtime for the Timberwolves to win that game. Just the absolute the assassin he is when a game is close and he decides, you know what, I'm just going to win this game. It was really fun to watch. It was really fun to watch in the jersey of the team that you cover. And so I for all the stuff that went down this summer and all the stuff that went down the beginning of this season and through the preseason and all that, I will still, that's the thing that's really going to hold with me when I remember the Jimmy Butler era. And that's not so bad, right?
No, those are some of the positives that we can take away from everything that happens. I mean, the negatives are well documented, but it's a new era in Wolves basketball, and they started it off with a big win last night against the Nets. And now we get to see what all of these pieces look like added to the rotation on Wednesday night. But just looking at this homestand, Colton, how important is it for the Wolves to change their fortunes by either going, I don't know, 3-2, 4-1, 5-0 on this homestand to try to get back into it?
Oh my gosh, I cannot stress this enough. It is essential that they come out with at least three wins on this homestand, especially after going 0-5 on the West Coast. But even if you go like 2-3 on the West Coast, you still need to pull a lot of these home games. It's so important because everyone says the NBA season is a marathon, which is true, but it's not as long of a marathon as people make it out to be, especially when you had a tight race last year to the finish of the playoffs, and you had probably 9 teams who could have gone to the playoffs when 8 only can make it. Now there's 10 teams who could realistically, at least 10 teams who could realistically make the playoffs, and you still only have 8 spots. Every win is important, even in October, November. All these wins are really important. So starting out as far behind the 8 ball as they are, they desperately need to take advantage of at least their home court and get wins at home, because they can't seem to do it on the road right now. And so they need to come away from this home stand with like 4 wins. They really have to, because that's how they play some catch up here, because they are really behind some teams here. And again, I know it's a long season, but if you give up a month, all of a sudden you're going to have to play 2 months damn near perfect, or you're going to be hosed.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how this Timberwolves team starts to kind of rally around each other now that they now that they've got this cloud out from over their heads. It's going to be fun to see how they come together as a group. Colton, a blast on the show here today. Thanks for joining to talk a little bit about the two sports that you cover the most. We'll see how the Wolves end up here over the next few weeks. We'll see how things turn out in college football, and we will check in with you again next week.
Thank you so much for having me. Please, to all of your listeners, please check out the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Daily Timberwolves content and digestible podcast nuggets of only about 20 minutes or so every single day, giving you information, narratives, different ways to look at the Timberwolves, all that good stuff. Some fantastic guests. I don't want to get too far ahead of my skates, but John Krasinski of The Athletic should be on the podcast sometime next week. We're bringing in heavy hitters every single week as far as podcast guests. Make sure to subscribe and listen to all of their fiery hot takes and information.
Colton, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Seth.